Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. Yep. Oh, I love those intros every time. Make me feel good.
I know. But Chris, I'm not about making you feel good, mate. I've blown way too much smoke up your ass over the past 40-something episodes saying how good buyer's agents are, how good you are. I reckon it's about time we help the audience understand that even in the world of real estates and all these amazing buyer's agents that are helping people purchase property, that there are some shonkers out there.
Well, let's phrase it. Not all BAs are created equal.
That might be buyer's agents. Politically correct way
as,
to say it.
As I'm sure I've ripped into real estate before, that yeah, you are quite ethical and upstanding, but not all real estate agents are created equal. So, yeah, this episode's really about that talking about the entrance, so buyer's agents growing.
Yep.
So 3,000-ish member people of society in Australia who are operating as a buyer's agent. It could be low figure, could be high. There's no actual direct recording of it specifically. And the people who are entering into that area may or may not be coming in with either the right approach or the right experience. So let's break it down.
Yep.
Right. So there is, what is the barrier of entry to become a buyer's agent? It is almost equal, but a bit lower than a real estate agent. So the qualifications are the same. So we need to do a certificate in real estate. We need to then go forth and get a license.
Yep.
And get a first class A license, class one license, sorry, to be fully operational there. However, why I say it's a bit lower, because it's the same as a real estate agent effectively.
Yep.
But why I say it's a bit lower is real estate agents, both in terms of the experience you need for the qualifications, but in particular, you know, there is cost associated to running a real estate agent business that buyer's agents don't have. So
correct.
Costs include, what are some typical costs that you would inhibit?
Just marketing, promotion for yourself.
Promotion, billboards.
Billboards.
Physical billboards that are getting plonked in properties.
If you're in a company, they've got trust account people.
Well, they all have trust accounts, right? Where you're property managing or you're selling.
Yep. But if you wanted to be an effective agent in an effective team, you're paying individual people to specialize in that role.
Correct.
Otherwise, you can't be a top agent or look to be a top agent and you're trying to also do trust accounting and all that. That's
yeah,
I find it confusing.
So to become a buyer, like in real estate, you've got to have a trust account. Whether you're doing property management or whether you're doing sales, you have to have a trust account. And yes, you've got management around that. But also there's the just logistics of having that account, managing it, transactions coming in and out and so forth. Buyer's agents, guess what?
None
of that. You know, the only money we ever see is the money that's paid to us directly from our clients. None of that is taken out a part of the purchase or the sale of the property.
Yep.
So in a way, it's cleaner, but in another way, it also means because there's less mess there, the barrier to it all is quite easy or relatively easy in terms of operating.
Yep. And from a marketing point of view as a real estate agent, what makes it tougher is there is a lot less houses than there are buyers, particularly in Sydney.
That's true.
So therefore, if you're coming into the industry, it is better off.
Wait a second. There's more houses in Sydney than there are buyers, but there's more.
There's less
houses for sale or likely to be sale.
Yes.
That's a valid point.
So therefore, if you're starting out in real estate, you're better off being under the umbrella of someone else for a few years to actually build up that name. Whereas as a buyer's agent,
less so.
Yeah.
That is less so. Yeah. And there's a lot of spruiking about becoming a buyer's agent. So people are always looking
at... Isn't it like 3-day work weeks and only working 5 hours a day? And
look, there's a lot of... Both in this area and in finance and tech, you'll see a lot of quick, rich scheme components. And buyer's agent does have a lot of marketing directed around it. So there's a lot of people there who go, I understand to become a buyer's agent, I can do this outside of my current workout. So I can hold a full-time job and do this in the evenings and on Saturdays. Other times talked about like I can do it part-time, I can do it 2 to 3 days a week, I can do it when I want to do it, not when I don't. Now, if I said you as a real estate agent, and I will ask you now, like, what was your day, your hours like yesterday?
Yesterday was up at 5 o'clock.
Yep.
Didn't leave the office until 12:30 the next day.
Right, okay.
There was a three-hour window in the middle, but...
There's a break there somewhere, but... And that's not untypical. Maybe you probably do more than most people, but it's pretty full on days, right?
Full on. The missus definitely wish I was home a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. And you work weekends.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and if you didn't do that, let's say you reduced that by half. Let's say you worked a Monday, a Thursday, and a Saturday. Do you think you could have any success? Not just, this, of course, not the same success. But do you think you'd have any success if you restricted yourself to a Monday, a Thursday, and a Saturday? No. Sorry?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
So, I agree. I think the same as a buyer's agent. For a buyer's agent, we would be equally unsuccessful if we worked 2 to 3 days a week. But there's a lot of marketing spring in this. So people come in, they come from different walks of life. So they're a barista, they've finished university studies, maybe graduate programs.
Not quite happy in a midlife crisis that they're trying to be like, oh, what's something I want to sort of still start to enjoy my life. But something to...
And even some people have retired, so they've had their corporate life altogether. They've retired, they've always enjoyed property. They feel like it makes a lot of sense to them to come in and dive into this. But that's not always the best reason. You know, it doesn't mean they come in. Have they come in with property experience? No. And same as real estate. A lot of real estate agents don't come with property experience. But again, reiterating, quite often they would sit under somebody else for 12 months as a minimum.
Minimum. I know some agents that have been under someone for 10 years and then they've finally gone out on their own, or like still with the same person, but sort of
as their own agent, or they've gone
and their own. That's when they've blossomed. But it takes hard work and time.
Yeah, so when we're, I guess let's reframe this back. So if you're listening and watching this, great, thank you very much. But what's in this for you? We're trying to now dovetail into how do we educate people who are looking at buyer's agent, they're about to buy a property. What are some things they should be doing when they're assessing a buyer's agent? I might throw to you, I've got some points, but what do you think they should be looking at to try and qualify a buyer's agent?
I think trying to find data points or research that is not biased towards the buyer's agent. Now, it's very tricky because unfortunately, unlike REA and Domain, there is a centralized system where there's... For real estate agents. There's reviews from both the buyer and seller, and the real estate agents have no control over that.
Yeah.
They've got absolutely none.
Give you a small snapshot. Every purchase we make, the agent automatically basically sends me, either for my client or for me to do a review on REA. And there must be a lot of pressure, I'm imagining, from REA or maybe the business itself to get a review done on each and every property transaction.
Yeah.
There is?
Yep.
Yep. As a buyer's agent, guess what?
No.
There's just not that mechanism. So what do we have? Where would people see the results of a buyer's agent?
So I think one thing, rock up to auctions.
Yep, that's true. Yep.
So going to auctions would probably be one, I think, the easiest way. Visible, you're seeing them in action. They've got other clients. They're bidding. You can see how well they're performing.
Yeah, but you also could have, make sure they participate.
Yes.
Because I know that the buyer's agents out there, and you think about it, it's a very easy, you're right, it's a great thought to go, yes, great, position yourself. But then you can position yourself with buyer's agent cards or uniform or something, not bidding, but people perceive you to be in the knowledge.
Yep.
And you're vulnerable because you might have bid yourself at the auction, you miss out, and then the buyer's agent think, oh, I can do this. You don't know just because they were sitting, standing at an auction that they were actually engaged or they were actually...
So make sure they are bidding, they're participating.
Small detail.
But once again, as the buyer's agents industry is relatively new and trying to capture or...
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough because guess what? I've got my website, talks through my sales. I've got my social media, LinkedIn, TikTok, Facebook, talking about them all. Now, they're all genuine. There's none on there that aren't genuine. But...
I could have easily done
all of them ungenuine. I could start tomorrow and say I've been around for 3 years and here are a list of photos of properties I've purchased that I've never been part of.
So here's another good one.
Go on.
Speak to real estate agents.
Yep.
I agree. Genuinely. Now, be careful. Sometimes some agents will have some kickbacks. However, if an agent would generally be like, if you ask, can you recommend 3 to 5 buyer's agents that I should... look out for.
Yeah. I think it's, you're just touching a really great point. Talk about the kickback. So what does that mean? If a real estate agent refers a client to a buyer's agent, they can earn sort of circa 10 to 20% of what the buyer's agent makes. But you can ask that agent when he or she gives you a recommendation, because you listen to this podcast and you're watching, great. You're going to go on this. you'd say the agent, not Kurt, but you say, who could you recommend? And they give you two or three names. And then you could directly ask them, do you receive any commission back from that? Legally, they have to tell you.
Yes.
Now, the ethics might be a question if they don't. But I think most will be like, yes, I do. And some actually will be like, great. They go, no, I don't.
Yep. The thing also to take into account as well, even when it comes to mortgage brokers or anyone receiving a kickback, is generally though they're going to refer someone they trust and like. So if a real estate agent is saying that, because at the end of the day,
they're an extension themselves.
Yeah. If I give a dodgy referral, it looks bad on me.
Correct. Yeah, so they're not just doing it for that, but it's still good for you as a buyer
to be aware.
As a seller, if you happen to get this scenario, good for you to be aware. And look, I use REI and New South Wales contracts. That's another really good point. If you're using a buyer's agent and they're sending you a contract that's just written in a piece of paper, I know in Brisbane and in New South Wales, and it's probably the same other states, that's basically illegal. They have to be using the registered regulatory body contracts. And on each of those contracts that are regulation, there's literally a box to say, has anybody else taken a cut of the deal here from any introductions ever? And you have to have them listed.
Yep.
Again, ethic, make sure it doesn't mean they could be giving a kickback and not doing that, but it's another really good point. If they're not using that contract, like I said, they're using their own branded contract on an A4 bit of paper or just an email, I'd be worried.
Well, yeah. So I think to sum up from what to look out for, auction, seeing a buyer's agent participate, speaking to real estate agents about who they recommend, real estate agents are calling you all the time. So even if you've got a couple of recommendations and a couple pop up there that are the same, that's also a bit of an indication.
Can I have one as well?
Yeah.
This is Sydney focused, right? There's a good chance, hopefully, maybe not everybody, but let's say 95% of people here, and if it's not you, sorry, are based in Sydney or been in Sydney or know Sydney. Ask a friend. Even if they haven't used a buyer's agent, I guarantee they've probably had a discussion. Someone in your network has had a discussion and sit down, or even knows somebody else who's used a buyer's agent. Use them.
Or also networking groups.
Yeah, true.
And what I mean by that, often businesses meet up, try and just type in business networking group, whatever suburb. Generally, there might be something. Go to there and you've just...
Usually some qualification. Usually gone through some rigor to be part of that association.
So there's ways and means to find out.
It's been fun.
Yeah. Be wary of, Chris, before we sort of sum this all up, what to be wary of, what to look out for that sort of a signaling red flags that you wouldn't go near them?
I think a few things. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So if they're talking about, they're doing hundreds of deals a year, that's probably not accurate. I think also from a fee standpoint, like buyer's agents, it's not going to cost you the world, but it's a similar fee ratio to what a real estate agent is. And if they're talking about figures of, $1,000 or something around these sort of numbers, it's unlikely they're doing a thorough job for you.
And I think a big one, there's no retainer fee for the buyer's agent. Oh, yeah. Now, usually the retainer fee is quite small, but like a real estate agent, the buyer's agent doesn't get paid generally until there is success.
Yep.
And if it happens to take 4 to 5 months, generally buyer's agents purchase 4 to 8 weeks. But if a buyer's not quite clear or it just hasn't worked out, maybe it takes 2 months, three months, the buyer's agent is not getting paid and they still need to be able to cover their cost for fuel, traveling around.
Yeah.
So there's also not a small retainer fee in there. I'm not saying it's a massive red flag, but I'd
question it.
Question.
Put that down there. No, it's good. All right, I think that nicely or really sums it up. That's been a good episode. Thank you.
Yes.
Now you're going to hit me with something now, I think. Yes. This is a bit of fun.
So usually we do 3 quick cues, but you tossed up multiple choice last.
Yeah, I did.
And then I'm going to provide you with 3 different quotes from songs. I'm going to provide you 3 artists and you need to match.
Okay, give me the artist first.
So the artist is Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
Bruno Mars.
Oh, yeah.
And Bryan Adams.
Oh, God, okay.
Okay, so the first quote is, now obviously I'm going to speed read it, not sing it, is, I know that life can be a little tough, but you know that ain't enough for you to throw your hands up in the air and just give up like you don't care. Okay. Quote number 2, you're the greatest thing that ever happened to me, life and love, true memories.
Okay.
And number 3 is, it's just that I'm a mess when you look inside my eyes. 4 minutes timed, I got to call you mine.
If only I remember to swallow my pride, then I get the privilege to call you mine.
Oh my God, I've got no idea. I've got genuine idea. So I'm going to go, first one was Bryan Adams.
Okay,
Bryan. Or not? Oh, you can tell me now, come on.
No.
Okay, number two, Ed Sheeran.
No.
Yeah, and so number three, Bruno Mars.
No,
obviously can't be right.
Can't be right.
Well, actually, no, it could be right, because those two could be
another. Could be right.
But it wasn't.
No.
No, which order was it?
None of them, they're all my songs.
Okay. I actually did think when you started, part of me was like, I thought you were going to give me one artist and you were going to give me two song lyrics and one was, and then a third one should be yours, but we love
you. Look, I'm very cheeky. But
I will put a link, I'm going to do you a favor, put a link to your YouTube channel in the comments below so people can come check out your music prowess.
Go to Spotify.
I'll do that as well.
Just do Spotify.
Very, very good. Thank you all.
So hope that helped with being wary of buyer's agents. Most are good, but
be wary. But thank you all for dropping by. Appreciate it.
Subscribe, swallow.
Swallow?
Swallow.
Cut that.
Beautiful. Cheers.